Kingdom life comes into play when we begin to value the thing that the kingdom holds most dear.
We have to learn how to cooperate with the Spirit of the Lord, and that's the thing that changes history.
We are stewards of this moment in time. We're talking about the potential for cities to be turned.
How are you to bring the kingdom of God into your region, into your family?
When we begin to let ourselves bend to the values of the kingdom of heaven, then things around us begin to bend in response.
You're listening to Lead the Kingdom Radio.
Welcome to Lead the Kingdom, Calibrating Leaders to Reign. I'm here with my co-host, Mitch Clay. My name is Clint Kaler. Thank you for listening. One of the goals I think today is we would like to be able to put a touch point for people to actually access and understand what Jesus has done for us when we say these two words, the kingdom. So Mitch, why don't you kick things off for us and help us in context understand what the kingdom is, as we have heard it so many times from Jesus and the apostles in the New Testament.
Right. This is a gigantic topic, obviously, and it's a very relevant topic for this day.
Yes.
There are seasons of emphasis by the Holy Spirit in the earth. So in different times and different ways, there's a greater emphasis on certain things than other things. And
correct.
We see that through church history and other things. So in this day, I believe it's a season where the Holy Spirit is highly emphasizing this word kingdom.
Yeah.
And most of our listeners will probably agree with that, because you just hear more and more and more about the kingdom. There's more, you know, there's more books being written. There's more conferences being, that can you be invited to and so forth. And so for us to speak in a 30-minute program about the kingdom is a difficult thing. Mm-hmm. And we obviously know our limitations, and we're not
kind of setting this up, right?
Yeah. I don't know what you're expecting.
I like what you said before we hit record. You said we want to put a handle on this thing so people can access it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so let me even contextualize a little bit better, because Clint and I's goal is we're trying to speak to that man, that woman, who's somehow awakened or somehow knows there's something else. There must be more. Mm-hmm. You remember that old song, There Must Be More?
Yeah.
But they don't know what it is. And so Clint and I really have a heart for you. I just want to speak to you, right?
That's good.
To your heart.
Yeah.
You know, we have a heart for you. We want to bring some revelation to you, but we also want to bring some practicality to you.
Right.
And so that's our goal in speaking this, and especially this program today. So we want to speak about the kingdom in a way that you can get your hands on this handle and that you can make practical steps to embrace the kingdom, this whole idea and understanding of the kingdom, and then for you to walk in that kingdom and become the full expression of Christ and the destiny of the Father in you.
Right.
Yeah. So my understanding of the kingdom is simply to take the word and divide it. The king's dominion.
Mm-hmm.
Kingdom. The king's dominion. So it has everything to do with a king and his dominion.
Yeah.
So that has to do with reigning. That has to do with ruling. That has to do with authority. And I was sharing with Clint before the program as well that the Greek word that's most of the time translated kingdom, it is not to be confused. This is the Thayer's definition. It's not to be confused with an actual kingdom. In other words, a castle, a crown,
a location,
a scepter, all that. It's not to be confused with that, but it has everything to do with the reign, the authority, the rule of a king.
Mm. Okay. Powerful.
And so that's what makes a kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
A kingdom is the place where the king's dominion, the king's rule, is enforced.
Yeah.
So in the natural, when we have a country, the place where the government or the ruling bodies, the authorities, the ruling authorities of that place in the earth called a country, that boundary is the place where that rule is in force. That's what defines the borders of that. Because if you go from Spain to France, when you cross that little invisible line,
yeah.
Well, you're going out from under the king of Spain's rule,
mm-hmm.
and their authority, and you cross this invisible thing, and all of a sudden you're now under the king of France,
mm-hmm.
and the government of France.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it is. And so in the kingdom of God, it's not connected to the earth.
That's
because
true.
It's a spiritual kingdom.
That's right.
It's a spiritual
yeah.
authority. And so wherever the king is in authority, that is the place where,
yeah, that's
where,
his kingdom.
Where the kingdom is. That's right. And so with that in mind, the kingdom is super, super important because it is a part of the heart and the will and the purpose of God from the very beginning. And so I believe it's important to understand what God's purpose was from the beginning because many people... they really don't even know what God's doing. So it's hard to cooperate with what God is doing.
Well said.
If you don't know, you know, what it is.
Right, right.
I believe from the beginning, God wanted to bring heaven to the earth.
Right.
And so I have this little comical saying. He said, what makes heaven heaven? Clint, what makes heaven heaven?
I don't know, Mitch. Tell me.
We played catch, didn't we?
We sure did.
Well, heaven is the place where the will of God is always done.
Yeah.
That's what makes heaven heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So if God wants to bring heaven to the earth, then he wants his will to be done in the earth.
Yeah.
That's why when the disciples asked Jesus, teach us to pray, he told them, pray like this. Your kingdom come, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your, God, your kingdom come, your will be done on the earth as it is in heaven.
Right.
Jesus was teaching them, pray the will of God.
Yeah.
And so this has been the will of God from the beginning. When God created Adam and Eve, put them in a garden, he told them, have dominion, have rule, bring my kingdom, bring my will to pass in this place in the earth.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I think of when I think kingdom, okay? Mm-hmm. It has to be practical. We can't just have ethereal concepts and these mystical imageries and all that. And this kingdom thing is a little mystical in some ways, but I believe that God wants us to walk in a practical way that we can bring his authority, his rule, his dominion into the earth. One of my favorite scriptures that I believe just fully describes the kingdom of God. And sometimes we need these pictures. We talked about this earlier, but we need these pictures to really get a handle. And so I believe that 1 Corinthians 15:24, it gives us a picture of the fully manifested kingdom of God. And so it says, then comes the end when he, Jesus, shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule, all authority, and all power. In other words, the King, the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, he and his dominion, his authority, rules over every other authority.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That will be the end.
Yeah. I think a lot of people would actually agree with that scripture. I mean, obviously it's in the Bible, so.
Yeah.
But you know, I think that's not necessarily such a foreign concept, but here's the problem. That scripture is many times put off way in the future. And that itself has become a mystical concept that we have no way to touch. And who knows how that will happen or come to pass. It's been put off so far in the future that it really has no impact on how we live our daily life as sons in the kingdom.
Right. I agree. And so when you put things off, then really you're just in a waiting place.
Right.
You're just sitting and waiting till that time that you can, quote unquote, go to heaven, go into the kingdom,
yeah.
or receive this.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that really helped me grasp this or put a handle on it, so to speak, as you mentioned, we're familiar with this phrase, kingdom of heaven. I mean, we see it mentioned many times in the New Testament, Jesus and others preaching the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom in heaven is at hand,
right.
All these things.
Or the gospel of the kingdom.
The gospel of the kingdom, right. And we tend to, because of just our Western mindset, when we hear that phrase, kingdom of heaven, we think automatically, oh, he's talking about a place that we're going to go when we die. Again, putting this event off in the future. But absolutely not one single time when that phrase is mentioned, is it referring to a place we go when we die?
Right.
That's important.
That's very important.
Very important, very powerful. If that's true, then that is an invitation to us that we must consider our response to.
Right.
That the kingdom is a now thing. And not only that, it's a thing that Jesus modeled.
Yes. Yes.
And so, and I know you've got some really great things to say about the Son and how it works with the kingdom. Why don't you talk about that a little bit?
Okay. So we have introduced this and spoken concerning the kingdom in the past, even in the past two shows, but we've always linked the kingdom and the family, or this thought of sonship, mm-hmm. fathers and sons. We've always linked it together, and we've alluded to this. We've said it, but not super, super plain, maybe like I'm about to say it. Mm. I believe with all my heart that the kingdom cannot work except in the father, son, or the family mm-hmm. setting.
Yeah, the context of family.
It will not be able to express itself with full authority mm-hmm. and with a full dimension and full force of what the Father desires to do if you don't consider and understand that you are a son, he is the Father, and how God has designed this whole thing to work.
Right.
And you know, and I know, there are many people that take different components, different, we can give so many analogies here, and they don't use them the exact way they were meant to be used. Mm-hmm. And you get a limited result.
Yeah.
I give an analogy, I'll just say it quickly, but if we want electricity to flow, we know we have to have a closed circuit, mm-hmm. okay? And I'm not an electrician, and so the best thing is copper or gold or platinum, you know, some metal that is just conducts electricity like the best.
Yeah.
It's great at it, right? Mm-hmm. But I also know that I could go out into the woods, find a wet stick, and put two electrical wires on each end of that stick, and electricity will close the circuit. It'll mm-hmm. flow through there, but it just won't be efficient.
Right.
Will it do what we want it to do? Yes, but really, really inefficiently, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I believe that's the good picture for the kingdom of God. God wants his reign. He wants his authority. He wants his kingdom mm-hmm. to come into the earth without any hindrance, without right. any resistance.
Exactly.
Without anything that causes that full expression to not be manifested. So this whole thing about fathers, son, and family and so forth, it is, honestly, it is the platinum. It's the titanium. It's the best conductor for the kingdom of God, because it's the design of God.
Well, this is very much on purpose. And again, we're revealing some keys to the kingdom here. We're revealing some ways that we can access what Jesus has done. And I don't think that we've had enough instruction or people who actually carry this as a revelation, because it's not a widely understood concept. And we know that because we can look at the state of many places and see, well, the kingdom is not in full force there.
Right.
You know, the kingdom has come and is coming. You know, it's
sure.
progressively growing.
I agree.
Of the increase of his government, you know, there shall be no end. It's
That's
increasing.
Right.
So speaking of son, Jesus carried and participated in the releasing of the kingdom. So we're talking pre-cross, pre-resurrection. He was preaching the gospel of the kingdom and doing it with the accompaniment of the 12 with him, and demonstrating what it's like. And in fact, if we view the life and ministry of Jesus through this kingdom, gospel of the kingdom lens, we can actually begin to piece together and make more sense of the things he taught. Because he was teaching all of these things from the viewpoint of the kingdom. In fact, that was the point of what Jesus' mission, if you would, to earth was for, is to destroy the powers of darkness by giving us the keys to the kingdom with which he overcame every opposition, rule, and power, empowered us in turn as sons to do that.
Exactly.
So we see these times where Jesus, he'll just say something, you're like, well, that was weird. Why'd he say that? And traditionally, we just skip over that part.
Yeah.
We don't teach that part.
Yeah.
Because he's operating out of an unseen realm. He's, in fact, he said, I do what I see my father do, and I say what I hear my father say.
Yeah.
So that that place where he is operating out of this unseen world actually caused him to steal a little kid's lunch and give it away to 5,000 people. That does not make sense, okay? But that's not the point. The point is not making sense. The point is that his main goal was to please his father. There was pleasure that he was giving to his father because he operated from a kingdom mindset. And we know from Paul, so many teachings, Romans 8 and so on, that a person who operates out of the mindset of this earthly realm or the flesh it talks about cannot please God. In fact, it cannot partner with God's plan. It's just not able to, Paul
That's
talks
right.
about.
That's right.
And so then we have this other situation while I'm on a roll with Jesus's outlandish actions out of seemingly nowhere. We have Peter and Jesus talking about his crucifixion.
Yeah.
Peter freaks out, okay? Yeah. Again, Jesus is still operating from this unseen realm where he hears and sees from the Father and releases it into the earth, okay? Peter says, no, this is not right. But Jesus, again, his main goal is pleasing the Father. He rebukes Peter and says, you are Satan. Basically, he says, you are Satan because you don't have the same mind I do. You're not thinking with the same mindset I am. I'm thinking from the kingdom. So now we have a powerful, powerful thing at play in our lives where Jesus has actually given us the ability to please our Father by operating in the kingdom.
Wow.
That thing changed my life.
Right.
Because I want to please my Father.
Right.
We have this teaching, okay, floating around the body of Christ, and it's not wrong, but the application is misguided. Jesus did it all. Just, you know, rest in his arms, rest in Jesus.
Right, right.
And there's no ability for me to give him pleasure because Jesus did everything and he's so pleased with me. He's so pleased with me that I'm a mess and he's so pleased with me. So there's no traction there. There's no advance. There's no authority in that. There's no partnership on my part. But knowing that my participation in the kingdom can please my Father, that means everything to me because I want to please him. And then if I have that mindset that I am here to please my Father, I am never leaving this mindset of the kingdom, no matter what anyone says. No matter if Peter says, no, 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 I'm going to say, Peter, you have someone else's mind right now. You do not have the mind of heaven.
That's
you don't
right.
have the mind of the kingdom.
That's right.
And so this, I think, is a crucial pivot point for leaders, because how many things do we have opposing us as we lead that try to pull us out of the mindset of the kingdom, that try to pull us out from operating out of the unseen realm where we hear what he says, we see what he's doing, and we in turn do it. We will never advance kingdom as long as we operate outside of that place. The best we can do is set up a religious system.
That's right. That's right. And this is the difference between a kingdom leader and a church, or a, Clint's been using the word system a lot, a religious system leader.
Right, right.
Someone who's based in that. We don't want to make that something that it's not. We're just saying that someone who's dominated by that mindset of something other than a kingdom way of thinking and way of ruling, way of leading.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one of our heart's desires,
yeah,
is to call everyone into their place as a son and as a kingdom leader so that the Father is glorified.
Right.
So that the Father's good pleasure is manifested in the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And so you were created. I want to speak to you as a leader out there that's listening. You were created for this. You were created for the pleasure of the Father. You were created to lead and to bring the rule and the government and all that means, you know, the peace and the joy and the righteousness in the Holy Ghost, you know, the joy in the Holy, of the, that's the kingdom. The kingdom is not eat and drink.
Yeah.
It's those things. And we as leaders and as sons of God, we were created to bring this pleasure, this desire of the Lord into the earth.
I feel like the majority of people out there leading don't expect people to actually reign in this life. They expect their lives to get a little better. They expect to maybe have a good ministry or a good church that's doing well. You know, finances are coming in. Things appear to go smoothly.
Mm-hmm.
But again, this is not, we're not talking about kingdom now when we talk about that kind of success. So to talk about success in the kingdom, we have to again step back and put ourselves in this place that Jesus walked in, hearing the Father, seeing the Father, and then responding in kind into the earth. Jesus said that, and this is out of John 16, he said, "You must be courageous, for I have conquered the world." In so many different translations there, "I have overcome the world."
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We have to understand that in order to reign in this life, or in order to lead in a way that causes people to reign, or causes us to reign ourselves, or causes us to distribute the advance of the reigning kingdom with our influence wherever we go, we have to understand that the only place that this overcoming the world thing works is in the kingdom. So if we are finding ourselves with the mindset of Peter,
yeah,
we're not going to reign.
No, we'll actually be contrary to the kingdom of God, to the will of God.
Yeah, I feel like somehow we're kind of pulling, you talked about the kingdom being a little mystical, and it is because the Spirit is Lord in the kingdom.
Right.
We're talking about a Spirit that has been has mingled itself with our spirit and become one.
Yes.
So if you don't believe in that sort of part of the kingdom, then you're a little stuck, because this Spirit is Lord of that unseen realm. He is actually teaching us how to operate in this.
Yes.
And that's why Jesus went to be seated at the right hand. We are seated with him in that heavenly place, but he left us his Spirit. And that Spirit is teaching us the ways of the kingdom.
Yes.
And so when we talk about reigning in life and you know, empowering these leaders to reign, what leader doesn't want their people to do well, right? I mean,
sure.
You know, that's innate.
Sure.
But if we really want them to do well, then we've got to go the whole way and talk about how do we get our people integrated or activated by operating in the kingdom. The revelation here is back to family. We have to function. We have to begin functioning as fathers.
That's right.
And sons.
That's right, because that's the Father's heart.
Yeah.
The thing you just described is the heart of a father.
Yeah.
Even a natural father. We're talking about a good father now. Mm-hmm. And there's plenty of examples of, you know, bad fathers, but we're talking about a good father.
Right.
A good father's intention is that his sons and his daughters, the children in his house, that they would find their purpose.
Yeah.
That they would be nurtured, they would be well provided for, that they would be given an environment that allows them to grow and to develop for the reason that they come into maturity and they're able to go out from my house and walk in the destiny, walk in their mm-hmm, purpose, mm-hmm. and be successful.
Mm-hmm. And if we're talking to leaders here, I think even we have to ask ourselves, what are we leading? You know, we have to have a heart check, right?
Yeah.
We have to have a heart check when we come up against a teaching that's exposing maybe some things that we're believing that are incorrect or that are just off, that need to be calibrated, you know, so to speak. Mitch, how do you check yourself when you hold yourself up to the light of this revelation of the gospel of the kingdom to make sure that you are actually leading in it? What are some things that you kind of hold yourself accountable to from this sense?
Well, one of the things is, even by definition, so we understand the kingdom means where the king is in dominion.
Mm-hmm.
And we understand that where the authority of God comes, then his kingdom is manifested, okay? So one of the things, if we are a kingdom leader, then one of the things is we need to check ourselves is the kingdom of God coming? Is the reign of God coming to the places where we have responsibility?
Yeah.
Is light dominating?
Mm-hmm.
Is light being released and expelling darkness?
Mm-hmm.
Are bondages, are those things that are ensnaring people and so on and so forth, are those things being dealt with mm-hmm. by the authority of God?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The other thing that I think about often about when I think about the kingdom is the kingdom of God is advancing.
Yeah.
The kingdom of God is dominating. It's taking territory. So as a leader, as a kingdom leader, when I examine myself, I think to myself, my standards are, how I measure myself against a standard is, am I advancing? Not my agenda, not my kingdom, not my ideas, mm-hmm. but am I advancing the kingdom of God? Mm. Is God receiving glory? Is God's might, dominion, power, glory, his majesty, is the raw exposure and revelation of who he is. Is that God, is that Father being revealed in the places where I have responsibility?
Yeah, that's powerful. And I'm thinking about the way Jesus did that. And certainly he healed all that came to him. So there's so many miracles that even the Bible talks about. The books of the world cannot contain everything that he did and said. So,
right.
But we can see what happened to those ones that he left with the kingdom. We're talking about ordinary men, okay, that became world changers. And you and I were talking about this before we hit record here, about the potential for radical shift in the history of the planet because of one man's faith. And we can't leave out that aspect when we talk about kingdom, because if we're not careful, we'll begin to adopt our own mentality of how this kingdom, why this kingdom is here.
Right.
And I love where we started this little section here is we're talking about absolute domination.
Yes.
So we're talking about absolute rule.
Yes.
That we're talking about things culminating into an absolute
yes.
rule where everything is subjugated
yes.
In the kingdom, where all darkness is put away, all the power is stripped.
All
it is stripped
it.
Away, but
all of it.
The completeness of it. And that's where we're going. And that is the thing that we're partnering with.
Yes.
Every time we steward a revelation from heaven, every time the Holy Spirit speaks to us and that empowers us, we are stewarding kingdom advance. And I think a lot of people disqualify themselves. You know, even leaders disqualify themselves because they relegate themselves to only kind of reteaching what they've heard or leading in a certain way that was modeled to them through their school or their mentor or whatever. But if we're going to be true kingdom leaders, we're actually leading from a blueprint of heaven that is revealed to us by the Spirit. That's what
it.
Jesus did.
That's right.
It's modeled to us. Why is that important? There's great power in this, because in order for the kingdom to overcome and subjugate the things in our city, well, let's start with our family, ourselves, our family,
yes.
our city, our
yes.
region, that has to be revealed to us. How many have said, I'm going to go into this city or I'm going to go into this nation? And it's the seven sons of Sceva story. You know, they just leave bleeding and naked.
Right.
Okay. But the kingdom has the power to overcome that.
Yes.
And I think that this is maybe a little bit of a charge to people out there who are leading, some young leaders, some old leaders, experienced leaders, people just getting started, that
right.
there is a invitation. There is an invitation to step into something that you've never known that will bring true satisfaction to your heart and empower everyone around you and leave a wake of kingdom transformation.
Yes, yes. I'm thinking about James 4:7. Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee.
Mm, yeah.
You see, authority is one thing, but if you don't submit to authority,
yeah.
then you're a rebellious.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
Then you're outside of that authority.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So the way that we as kingdom leaders have authority is we submit to authority. This mm-hmm. is exactly what you're talking about with the example with Peter. Peter was trying to walk in a different way. His
yeah.
heart, his passion was to protect Jesus, to mm-hmm. keep Jesus
yeah.
from dying.
Mm-hmm.
He was moved by a natural mind. He was
yeah.
he wasn't moved, really, he wasn't moved improperly in certain respects, but it was just not the plan and the will of God. In other words, it wasn't in the design or the plans of the kingdom mm-hmm. of God.
Yeah.
It made sense in a man's way of thinking, in a man's world, in a man's kingdom, you know, in an earthly kingdom,
mm-hmm.
but it did not make sense and it wasn't the right thing, and Jesus rebuked it. He said, that's from Satan.
He sure did.
You know what I mean? He said,
yeah.
that's not the plan of God, and I cannot submit myself to that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go into a self-preservation mode here.
Right.
This is not about self-preservation.
Mm-hmm.
This is about the Father's will being done. Even if it means my death, which
yeah.
of course was the plan of God.
Right, right.
And aren't we glad that he submitted to God's way
yeah.
and not the way of man?
Well, you know, the submission thing is a funny thing that's been very much abused. Even using this word submission, people are going to have some triggers.
Sure.
But when we talk about some submission here, just we're going to stay in this lane of the kingdom. When we talk about a submission thing, we're talking about the ability, because we have a renewed mind, because we have been born again into a kingdom family, therefore empowered by the thing that is Lord of the kingdom, which is the Spirit of God.
Yes.
Out of 2 Corinthians 3. So we're talking about where the Spirit is Lord.
Right.
There is freedom.
There is freedom.
There is everything that that Jesus did to overcome.
Yes.
Okay. So when we talk about submission, we are actually talking about, as we're empowered to be leaders, we're actually talking about submitting ourselves to the guidance and the direction and the leading of the Spirit.
Amen.
That is Lord.
Amen. I love it. That's
so
good.
That takes us into a whole nother kind of realm, which aptly put, this is the kingdom realm.
Right.
That causes us to begin to operate at a level and at a impetus that is inaccessible unless we are in this kingdom.
That's right.
It's impossible.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Jesus said in John chapter 3, except you're born again, you can't see the kingdom. Except you're born of the water and spirit, you can't enter into
right,
the kingdom.
Right, right, right.
And again, I love the verbiage, because the verbiage is born again. So that means you receive life. Mm-hmm. You're not born as a full-grown adult. You're mm-hmm. born as a baby. And mm-hmm. These are, you know, simple things. But listen, what that means is you can come into the kingdom but still be an infant.
Yeah.
Still be very naive, still be very childish in your understanding and in your thinking. So what's that mean? You have the full citizenship, you have the full rights, you're fully in the kingdom, but you can't fully express the kingdom mm-hmm. because you're immature.
Mm-hmm.
You're immature.
Yeah. Yeah. And so this is where family comes back into the picture, because there is accountability in family. And there's, when you're in family, you actually have a functioning father.
That's right.
Whose success is wrapped up in your maturity.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So speaking of baby steps, maturing, let's just kind of wrap this show up, just talking about maybe a couple quick examples of a way that we can begin to take some baby steps into participating in the advance of the kingdom.
Well, I think, first of all, again, it goes back to sonship. You have to know that you're a son. And you have to allow the Holy Spirit to begin, do the Romans 8, I think it's 15, I always get those mixed up, 14 or 15. The Spirit of adoption, he confirms, he affirms, he says yes and amen.
Mm-hmm.
In our spirits, that we are the children of God.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to not just be something in your mind, mm-hmm. but it has to be a yes and amen down deep in your belly, in your mm-hmm. spirit, that you are a son of God.
Yeah.
Once you know that you're a son of God, then that opens a whole new aspect to this whole life with the Father.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not that you're doing things to build the ministry, to build this or to build that. But now you're literally walking in the family of God, in the family business. You've just entered in to the plans and the desires of the family of God and God as the Father. Mm. When I have the mentality of a son, now I know, the Father loves me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm accepted. We go back to the prodigal.
Mm-hmm.
The prodigal did a bunch of dumb stuff, but the Father was looking and waiting for his return. And when he saw him, the scripture said he ran to him
mm-hmm.
and he welcomed him back. And we know that story. He put the ring on his finger and he clothed him and so forth, gave him a seat at his table and said, all that I have is yours, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all sonship. This is a mentality that comes with a revelation that you are a son.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you're not a slave. And you're not an orphan.
Mm-hmm.
You're a son.
Right.
Well received, well accepted, well welcomed. You have a place in the house of your Father. And as an orphan, you know, you were an orphan, but you're not. You have a Father.
Right.
He provides. He gives you these things. So I say, first, how do we begin to think about baby steps in operating in the kingdom? You have to understand that you are a son.
Mm-hmm.
And that your seat is established. And it's just so. You have that place. And the Father loves you. He's proud of you. He has plans for you. And as a son, you're in good place with him.
Mm-hmm. I would add just from my life that Number one, we have to get, and you're talking about this, but I'm going to say the phrase, we have to get our minds renewed.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we have to understand that there is a transformation that occurs in our mind that accepts what the Spirit is saying and partners with it. And I know for me, you know, one of the great things that has been used in my life by Him is what we call the secret place. And I don't know if that's a term everybody's familiar with, but basically Jesus said, you know, when you pray, go shut the door.
Right.
You know, go shut the door. And we're not praying to a faraway God. In fact, we have been given His Spirit, which has made us one. So now we share a heart space.
Right.
Now we share a mind space.
Right.
Now we share a spirit space. Our being is actually hosting Him.
That's it. Communion.
Okay?
Communion.
Yeah. That's the powerful thing about this, because now we have a teacher. And one of Holy Spirit's roles is to teach us
right.
about the kingdom.
Yes.
To teach us about this unseen realm and to empower us to come alongside of us to partner with it.
Yes.
And so learning that in times of communion with Him has been key to me to really get a handle on this and understand how to start to activate and move in these things in my own life.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. And so, you know, it's everybody can start where they are, but mm-hmm. it comes from an awakening, you know, this renewing of the mind. It comes from an awakening to know that there's more.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
more.
Yeah. Well, Mitch, why don't you pray for us and we'll close it out.
Yes. Father, I just thank You so much for Your great plan. This plan that You have commenced, to be have begun, Lord, and You will see it to the end. I thank You that You've known the end from the beginning, Lord, and You've seen this thing all the way to the end, and You know that Your kingdom will come. Your kingdom will be fully manifested, and it'll come through Your sons. It will come as Your family takes their place and walks in this earth and brings every one of Your enemies brings them into accountability and brings them into the place of submission and domination of Your kingdom, Father. So, Lord, I pray for Your sons and Your daughters that are listening even today, and I pray that there would be an awakening.
Mm-hmm.
I pray, Holy Spirit, that You, Spirit of adoption, You would even move right now, and You would begin to just stir in their bellies, stir in their spirits, and begin to confirm and affirm that they are the children of God. And not just affirm that this thing is a promise of heaven, but You would affirm and bring the truth that they're the children of God, and then You would awaken them to all that affords them, all that awaits them as the children of God, and all the joy and all the pleasure and all the destiny that the Father has planned. So, Father, I ask that You would minister to Your children right now, awaken them, awaken Your sons and Your daughters, and call them to that higher place, Lord, Your high calling. And we just trust You to do that by Your power and in Your ability and by Your grace, Father, in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, everyone, thank you for listening. We invite you to join this conversation over at leadthekingdom.com and participate in this movement of sons and fathers. Hey friends, thanks for listening. Plug into our network at leadthekingdom.com. Over there, you'll find resources to equip and empower your leadership potential. Also, get registered to receive emails on upcoming events, online leadership sessions, and more. You are valuable, and you were born to change the world.